Hey, everybody.
Hey, Al.
What's up?
Shabbat shalom.
Good Shabbos. We're getting it in before Shabbos, even though it might not get live before Shabbos, but it's not a post-Shabbos podcast.
Happy Purim Katan.
Thank you.
What's Purim Katan?
Mini Pur. Mini Yom Kippur.
Okay. How is it mini Yom Kippur? How is it mini Purim?
You tell me, you're the one that went to the amazing event at the Young Israel of the Upper West Side.
I did go to a Purim Katan Seuda, a festive meal.
Men only.
What are you
I'm
gonna do?
gonna make my own.
It could have.
Spite Purim Katan comes it.
We haven't started watching the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Nope, I really hope some people got that reference.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a joke that I make too often about
Really?
opening up a spite something.
He's
Yeah.
good shtick.
Good shtick.
I support it. But we shouldn't do things out of spite.
No.
It should be Marvin Bisimcha. Should be increasing joy, not increasing spite.
Yes. Luckily, we don't take life lessons from Larry David.
I don't know. Are there any? I don't know how I feel about the chat and cut. I feel like that's a pretty.
The chat and cut. Oh, that, yeah, the chat and cut.
Yeah.
How, you don't know how you feel about it? You like
I mean,
it.
I've chatted and cutted, and I've seen other people do
Or did they just all let you in?
it. Yeah, so
Because of your dimples. I don't like the chat and cut.
Well, you're not.
I'm the opposite. I'm like, hey, friends up front, come back here.
You're very anti-cutting. You're very pro waiting in line. Like, well, if the people in front of me are being slow and they're ordering slowly, then it really isn't stopping anyway. Maybe that's not the way the world works.
It's the way Larry David works.
Yeah. So Perm Katan, why is it a small perm? Why do we have a small perm this year?
We're in a leap year. So we've got Adar Aleph, Adar Bet. So the major Purim is next month.
Why did they choose next month over this month?
Be very anticlimactic to just have nothing in the second Adar. And also it's very important that there's a connection between Purim and Pesach.
Nice, yeah.
Nailed it. Boom.
Yeah, so when it falls out that there's 2 months of Adar, we do it in the second one specifically so that it's connected to Pesach, but what is the connection between Purim and Pesach? Is there a connection between Purim and Pesach?
There's gotta be. Haven't thought about it in a while. Definitely at least 11 months. What's the most obvious connection to you? Besides for the connection of, oh my gosh, I have so much food that then I have to get rid of right before Pesach, and it doesn't enable you to actually enjoy all of the Mishloach Menot that you got because it's got to go. That's always been the race. Can I eat the Mishloach Menot faster than I need to get rid of it before Pesach?
So it would be nice if it was in Adar Aleph and then
Right.
you had 4 more weeks to be able to eat your
And get through
Mishloach
all of that
Manot.
candy.
So maybe it's specifically a thing that like part of the mitzvah of getting Mishloach Manot is also throwing them out before Pesach.
Must be.
That's like a part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. But there is an idea that 30 days before Pesach, we start preparing. We
We
start
stop
preparing.
eating matzah.
I mean, we get in a preparatory mode for Pesach, and that comes with Purim.
But spring cleaning is not Pesach cleaning.
Why not?
I just feel like I have to throw that out there.
But why can't Pesach cleaning be spring cleaning?
It can if that brings you joy, but if it brings you stress and people clean for Pesach the way that they do proper spring cleaning, it's not good. That's why it's dangerous when you say you start preparing 30 days before. If you're like, oh, what could you be preparing? It's cleaning out the cabinet. Going through the garage. It's like, no, you don't have to do all that. Just make sure there's no chametz anywhere.
Right. It is an interesting thing. Like when you think about reasons for mitzvot, it's like, oh, I'm going to eat kosher, so then I'm going to be eating healthy. So it's like, oh, well, I'll be more strict with Pesach and I'll also do spring cleaning. And like,
yeah, sometimes we conflate like a potential meaning or benefit of the mitzvah for like the actual content of the mitzvah. So perm kata.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about it.
And perm in general, connecting to Pesach. I feel like one idea is that perm is this redemption of the Jews that's very hidden. Esther, hidden within the Megillah, within the story, and all happens in very natural ways. And Pesach is very in your face, big miracles, plagues, splitting of the sea. So there's some like two sides of a coin there of like the different ways that we're redeemed.
I mean, that's interesting because I've always drawn that, just that connection between Purim and Hanukkah, because with the miracles of Hanukkah, very in your face, right? The candles, supernatural.
But is it even that in your face? Like, if you think about Hanukkah, the candles, it only happened inside the Beit HaMikdash. It's like only the Kohen saw it. It wasn't in front of all of the people.
So maybe, touche. But the other concept that resonates more deeply when you think about the way that the miracles came about is the connection between the Kroger, which is associated with Purim, that we make noise when you say Haman Arasha, boo, and you shake your Kroger. Great reaction.
Yeah, we got to get better podcast producing to get like those, you know, sound effects like bam, 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 like yeah. Look for the Kroger noise.
Yeah, no, I like when you impersonate inanimate objects.
Do you prefer my sound effects rather than like the real?
I think so, yeah. Well, actually, so do you, because I like, so I'm a big fan of the Radiolab podcast, and I was listening to it with Kevin, and they're stellar at inserting sound effects. Like, that's their thing. That's their shtick. And Kevin's like, I can't listen to this. Turn it off. Too many sound effects.
That's what I sound like.
Yeah, just like that. So we actually don't listen to that podcast together, and he cringes whenever he listens to it, even though endless sound effects.
Many.
I'd recommend it. So, Grover, your hand is underneath and the world is spinning on top, right? And that's kind of like hidden miracles. Like, the thing on top is moving, it's doing all the things, but oh, there's a hand underneath that's really turning and making everything happen. Whereas with Hanukkah, there's the hand above spinning the dreidel, and it's very obvious that, wow, there's such a power behind. And even the real miracle, the real, there's so many real miracles, but the other miracle is like the war and the ability to fight. And I would say, like, even experiencing today, like with the war in Israel, is it such a in-your-face miracle? Yeah, it's an in-your-face miracle. Like, if you speak to anybody in the army, they're having endless in-your-face miracles. And like the fact that we have an army to protect ourselves, that's an in-your-face miracle.
Right.
Even though you could argue it's humans doing human things. It's like, no, this is supernatural.
Yeah. Yesterday, Aiden and I were driving back from Gan, from her daycare. I just call it Gan. And it says we were listening to some Purim music to try to get in the spirit of Purim Katan.
Yeshivish Purim, which playlist?
Yeah.
It's a really good one.
L'chaim Tish.
L'chaim Tish. L'chaim Tish Purim.
Yeah, so it was Chuasam Ha'ita L'Nitzav. And then it said, Tikvatam Bechol Dor V'Ador. Right. Their hope is in every generation. And I was thinking about like Hatikva, like Tikvatam, like their hope. But then there's also like the national anthem of the state of Israel is Hatikva. And like we have this like hope, Bechol Dor V'Ador, in each and every generation.
And the first part is Shua Samhai Salanetzah, that it's enduring. It's an enduring Yeshua, salvation.
Yeah. I'm just that it is a miracle that we've kept this hope in each generation, and this hope has been partially realized within the past generation and keeping it up in this generation. It's exciting that we, on a personal level, are hopefully fulfilling that tikva, that hope, that dream, that aspiration on Wednesday by making Aliyah.
So crazy. Last Shabbos in Galus. Come join us, everybody.
In Israel?
In Israel. I mean, you're welcome to come to Queens, but this also might not even be posted before Shabbos. So
I'm getting it out.
So then you can't travel to Queens in time. But if you're in Queens, come say hi.
Yeah. You can type it.
Have a little sign with us.
Toby Reich speech therapy. That's how I know.
How Kevin buys my house whenever we go in, because my mom's a speech therapist and she does services. And somehow she's in Google Maps under Toby Reich. So I'm always
Anyone can be in Google Maps. I can be added to Google Maps.
Yes.
Let's not do cheap.
So he's very happy that it's there, so he doesn't have to memorize my parents' address.
Even though I know it.
Yeah. And then we get into the car on Friday, and it's like, Toby Reich, speech therapy, maybe closing in. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
It's closed for everyone else, but it's open for us and for Eden to hang out and get have her playtime with Safta, or as Eden likes to say.
Shasha.
Shasha.
And then Kevin's like, Eden, do you want to go to Shasha? And then Mom's like, I'm a speech therapist. Please don't do that.
Yeah. That is, how are you feeling about fulfilling the dream of making Aliyah?
I mean, I'm feeling really good about it. I think I'm feeling way better than I ever would have thought, because we've had so many false starts. That it's like I've definitely had enough time to mentally prepare instead of just feeling thrown into it. It's like, said my goodbyes, packed my bags, got a couple more to pack, but for the most part packed, like it'll all fall into place. We've got the apartment, poo. We've got a gone for Eden. Like, I really thought it would be way more hectic. And I mean, it is a big testament to all of your hard work this past month of just making sure that everything is organized and the way that should be. So thank you for doing all that so I can focus on other things. So yeah, I'm feeling really good. How are you feeling?
Also feeling good. Yeah, I've gotten into definitely like a little bit of like a Sioni, very like Zionist, very like proselytizing other people to join us in Israel, like mindset.
How much of it is because you want them personally to be in Israel for you versus for them?
I don't know.
Because I definitely fall into the first bucket. I'm like, let's just buy a building and then make the rent equal to our mortgage so we're not making a profit or whatever it is. Like, and like low-income housing, basically. Not really. Basically, I want to make a building that's super affordable where we're not making a profit. We're just paying for what we need to pay for and make it easy and comfortable for everybody to move in with us.
By the way,
interesting.
Allison is a real estate expert. We visited San Diego.
Oh.
And she was like, I wonder how much houses are here. And then we went to, where was that little, like, a Coronado?
Coronado.
Which is like, you know, a crazy expensive place. She's like, oh, I wonder how much like real estate prices are here. And then we had a friend's wedding in Malibu, and she's like, oh, houses here look nice. So Allison always has a good pulse on the real estate market.
I also did it for random lake houses in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, that were $100,000 with broken floors, and entertained those two. So
that is true.
Just to level it out.
Yeah. But it definitely is a nice vision to have a little kibbutz ironi, a little urban kibbutz type of setup. But I don't know, I definitely want people to come for us, but I also, like, there's a believer, like, when you have something good, like,
share it.
Share it. Yeah, like if
we're onto something, like come on board.
Yeah, like I think that's one of the reasons that we put content out. That's one of the reasons that we try to help people like connect to their Jewish roots is like, I think that it's, I'm a believer that like it makes you appreciate it and makes the other people appreciate it. And it's, you're on like a mission together.
Totally.
And I don't know. I think there's a lot of good things happening in Israel. And yeah, America's feeling a little stagnant.
There was a bomb scare in Queens College yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not stagnant. That seems like downhill.
Yeah. My mom was in class teaching because, did I mention she's a speech therapist? So she also teaches at Queens College a speech course for language disorders, more specifically. And she's not like on her phone. There, everyone's like, Professor Reich, we need to leave. So I'm excited to hear that story. Thank God everything was totally fine. Nothing happened. But they did say that it was like a legitimate bomb scare. So that's pretty wild.
Like people were legitimately scared or they had a legitimate reason to
legitimate reason. Legitimate reason. So the whole campus was evacuated. But I'm very excited to hear that story at the Shabbos table tonight.
Yeah, and we're excited to hear it because nothing happened.
We're excited to hear it because nothing happened. And also my mom's such a character, so.
That's true. And she likes when she gets shout outs on the podcast.
Yeah. Sure. One for you, Mom. And she's a little bit nervous, so.
That is true.
So that's also why.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do if I was teaching a class and everyone's like, oh, I'm professor.
I know what you would do.
Know what I do?
You should freak out.
I would flip the desk.
Everyone, like, get it out of there. It's done.
I'll see you in a month.
Yeah.
Class is dismissed indefinitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Raw mind forever.
Yeah. Never coming back here.
Yeah.
Get like a security guard for your, like, the door of your classroom.
Coming in like a bubble wrap suit the next day.
You'd get a gun.
I would get a gun.
She'd be armed.
I would get a gun. Yeah. So that's why I'm also extra excited to hear my mom's narrative on this because, listen, apple doesn't fall far.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
That's true.
Kevin would be like, so what are people's thoughts on this article that we just read? Be like, anyway.
Yeah, like anyway.
Here's a donut. Yeah. I brought a donuts anyway. We might as well enjoy them.
And make a bracha. You know, thank you. Sudat hoda'a, a little thank you meal. That everything was okay. Yeah. That's why, you know, make a good team. But in terms of like things feeling stagnant, like I was thinking about, we're here for Purim Katan, the small Purim.
Yeah.
The Purim that's in Adar Aleph. And then hopefully next month for Purim, we'll be in Israel. And I don't feel so much more significant to hear the Megillah to celebrate the Jewish holidays in the land of Israel with our people. And with Purim, we don't say Hallel. We don't say like a full praise of Hashem on that day. There's a few different reasons, but one of the reasons is that like it wasn't a full redemption. Like at the end of the day, they were still chilling with Ahasuerus. They were still, you know, Esther was the queen. Like they weren't killed, but they were redeemed.
Yeah. They still have the bomb scare.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah. Like they
the bomb is still scary.
Yeah. Like, you know, your mom escaped the bomb scare yesterday, but like, let's go. Yeah. But like, you know, let's go home. Let's have the big Purim. Let's have the real Benenofo, the real like
Flip.
Changing of the fate and like of like taking like our destiny and like to in the hands of our people, like in obviously it's also always in Hashem's hands, but I don't know, it's something that I'm thinking about. Like this is Purim Katan. Like Purim here is Small potatoes.
We like them big potatoes.
I think so. Does that resonate at all?
Definitely. I mean, part of me is like, well, like my whole practical like side is just like, well, technically we would have already moved to make sure that we were there for Purim because then we won't be there for Pesach. And so that's where my head goes. But I do think it is beautiful that we're experiencing the contrast of Purim in America and Purim in Israel.
Yeah.
Back to back. And being there, like, yeah, being there for Pesach.
Yeah. But there is something also about, like, specifically in America, specifically in New York City, doing Purim, doing...
I think it's so cool. Like, that's something that I do find really interesting. And especially, for example, like Shabbos, I feel this a lot. It's like for these moments in time, whether it's a holiday or a Shabbat or a bris, like our world stopped and everybody else's world is just keeping on going. And like we are stopping and we are recognizing our greater purpose, recognizing Hashem, recognizing that like life isn't just the go, go, go.
Right. We create those pauses, yeah. Those stops, those that sense of like whenever the eighth day is, maybe boy's healthy, like we're making the bris. It doesn't matter if you have a big business meeting or you know, that Saturday, like it's Shabbos.
Yeah. And the contrast, I think, could be weird, right? Where you're just like, everybody else here is just doing all the other, they're all eating bread, but I'm eating matzah. Or it's like, I'm doing something distinct and unique and impactful and meaningful. Whereas in Israel, hopefully there's a lot less bread that we see. Even though the bread, that they do have a ton of bread on Pesach, but it's all like, they have great products.
There are good products in Israel for
fasting. Yeah, but a lot of it's also because there's kidney oat in it.
Right. But no, there is something to being countercultural in America.
Yeah, counterculture. Mm-hmm. That's us.
Yeah, but maybe we'll be countercultural in Tel Aviv.
In what way?
Just because Tel Aviv has like a less religious, a less traditional vibe to it. So.
Yeah, we'll definitely be countercultural.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but no, it's also, it's related to like last week's Parsha and this week's Parsha, like last week being Truma, a Vesuli Mikdash, that creating a tabernacle, creating like a holy space for Hashem, whether that be the land of Israel, whether that be synagogues around the world, to have those spaces where you can create that. It's difficult to do that in Times Square. It's possible, but it's easier to do it when you have like, okay, this is the place where I experience that sense of holiness. And then this week's Parsha, Tetzaveh, talks about creating the different garments and that also being another way to be countercultural by either the dress that we have on Shabbat, the dress that we have during the week, you know, through wearing a kippah or dressing modestly, and that there is something to like, how do you create those countercultural holy spaces through literally designating or sanctifying space or using modes of dress or the way you walk around in the world. And it's also related to Purim. Purim also being a time where we dress up to try to express different parts of ourselves or see how could we live in a different context, like in Israel. Too much of a push?
I'm just still thinking about if I would actually get a gun. If I would...
Are you leaning towards yes or no?
I'm still undecided.
It's good. It's not such a relevant question.
Yes. Leaning towards yes.
You lean in the abstract, though.
Yeah. Any other chidushim for this Shabbos, this Parsha?
I like the idea of Marbim B'Simcha, that it says Mishanech as Adar Marbim B'Simcha, who brings in Adar, increases joy. And whether it was a good week, how can it become a great Shabbos? whether it was an okay week, how can it become a good Shabbos? Whether it was a bad week, how can it be an okay Shabbos or an okay next week or an okay rest of the month? And just to let in a little bit more joy in Adar and to let the Aluf Dar, the Aleph, the Alufo Shel Olam, the champion of the world, the first of the world, which is Hashem, we say Adar, Aleph, Dar, that Hashem's presence should be able to reside, hopefully within each one of us in the intrinsic and extrinsic or internal and external way.
Amen.
Hope to see you all in Israel soon.
Can't wait.
Chaim. Happy Purim Katan.